This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi ta'ala min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Brothers and sisters, cutting away from the large introductions that we usually give to these classes, only because there's still a lot of material that needs to be covered before our last session next week, if Allah gives us life until then. A very quick summary: which surah are we taking the principles of success from? Surah Furqan is number what from the Quran? Surah number 25. Which ayah are we reading from? 63 up until around 76. How many of the characteristics of the successful people, according to Allah, have we covered so far? How many? 3. What was characteristic number 1? It was a description of what? Was it how they eat, how they talk, how they walk? So, brother, sister, if you have your copy of the Mus'haf with you, a physical copy, or on your phone as an application, or on your laptop, iPad, please open it now. Surah 25, Surah Al-Furqan, go to Ayah 63. We said characteristic number 1, according to success, by our Maker himself, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. The true servants of Ar-Rahman. Here they are. Here are the characteristics. If you haven't started applying these in Ramadan, you still have a good, healthy 10 or so days ahead of you. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. The true servants. What other translation could we use for ibad? Worshippers. Remember? Worshippers. The true servants, / worshippers of Ar-Rahman, are those who walk on the earth with ease. Characteristic number 1. We have spoken about that. Characteristic number 2. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant people address them, they respond with words of peace. These are descriptions of their behavior with who? With Allah or with people. These are descriptions of how they behave with people. Now comes a third quality of the truly successful people in terms of their relationship with Allah. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And they are those who spend their nights bowing and prostrating to their Lord. We said that there is a reason perhaps why Allah has introduced these successful people with respect to how they behave with people, before describing their behavior with Allah and their worship with Allah. You'd think it should be the other way around. You'd think it should be a description of how they behave with Allah, then how they behave with people, because we are second place. What was the secret? Somebody fire out very quickly. What was the secret? Is the question clear? Why did Allah Almighty describe their behavior with people before their behavior with Him? Yalla, Umair, come on. You wasn't here. Omar, were you here? Oh no, you were not here. Okay, anybody else? Abu Umar. La ilaha illallah. Yes.
Worship and our character go hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
No point, well, as a Muslim, you mentioned you both of them, yes. Both interlinked, one that good. Being found in your worship.
Good, good. Excellent, excellent. So, according to Allah Almighty, our religion is not one that makes a separation between church and state, between your dunya and your deen. And that's a conflation, a mistake a lot of people they make. They are Muslim in the masjid, Muslim by appearance, Muslim in salah. But when you deal with them with the dinar and dirham, pound and the dollar, you see a new side to a person, you see a monster. So Allah Almighty, in reinforcing the message that says that Islam governs your behavior with people, that's part of being a Muslim. Just as it governs your relationship with Allah, I will mention the descriptions of these successful people and how they interact. Before I give you a description of how they behave with me, Remember, we spoke about this. Brothers, we need this to be two-way. This is characteristic number three. Characteristic number four, as you see on the slide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is going to tell us, after having told us about how they respond to ignorance, how they walk, the style of walk, and how they spend their nights bowing and prostrating, now we're going to hear of a dua that they make. If you want to be a successful person according to Allah, happy in this world, in your grave, on the day of judgment and in paradise, here is ingredient number four. A dua that they make. Alhamdulillah, it's left no secret for us. We can memorize it. A dua that describes just how scared the true servants of Ar-Rahman are from the hellfire. La ilaha illallah. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا صَرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. They are those who say, our Lord, divert away from us the punishment of Jahannam, the hellfire. Indeed, its suffering is a lasting one. Its punishment is a permanent one. Indeed, it is such an evil place with respect to settlement and residence. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. La ilaha illallah. So in other words, they pray at night, they fear Allah by day, they watch how they speak when provoked, and on top of all of that, they believe that they could eventually end up in hellfire. They are people who don't admire themselves in the least. There is no arrogance to them whatsoever. There is no admiration in the lives of those who are truly successful, and that is what you read between the lines here. They are scared. And that is a quality of a true believer. He is scared, she is scared. There is no self-admiration whatsoever. And I want to mention a quick footnote for you here, brothers and sisters. This is a very common theme in the Book of Allah, whereby a connection is made between being a practicing Muslim and scared of the hellfire. And the opposite, which is what? Not being a practicing Muslim, in and out of the religion, and not scared of the hellfire. And that is why Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ جَمَعَ إِحْسَانًا وَشَفَقًا وَإِنَّ الْمُنَافِقَ جَمَعَ إِسَاءَةً وَأَمْنًا. He said, the true believers, they gather between two qualities. What are the two qualities? They do a lot of good deeds. Quality number two, they are afraid of Allah. That's the believer. And as for the hypocrite, the munafiq, he has two qualities. He doesn't do many good deeds, and he feels safe from the punishment of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Do you see it, dear brothers and sisters? So a sign of your righteousness is that you're scared. A sign of your piety, you don't know what your outcome is going to be. So you have no self-admiration whatsoever. Look at what Allah says, confirming this meaning that we are speaking about. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Those people of righteousness, Allah said, Surah Al-Mu'minun. They are those who spend from the money that we have given them whilst having fear in their hearts that they're going to return back to their lords. They give sadaqah and they are so terrified at the same token. Our mother Aisha, she wasn't very clear on this ayah. So she said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this ayah in reference to those who fornicate, who miss their salah, who steal, because they are scared? He said to her, La ya bint as-siddiq. No, O daughter of Abu Bakr as-siddiq, whom yusallun, wa yuzakkun, wa yasumun, wa yakhafun Allah azza wa jal. Rather, this ayah is speaking about people who pray, who fast, who give in charity, whilst fearing Allah at the same time. And in another narration, وَيَخَافُونَ أَن لَا يُتَقَبَّلَ مِنْهُمْ. And they are afraid that Allah is going to reject their good deeds. Quick recap, my dear brothers. The believer has gathered between two characteristics. What are they? Doing a lot of good deeds and being afraid of Allah. The hypocrite has also two qualities. What are they? They don't do many good deeds and they feel safe from the punishment of Allah. Measure yourself against that yardstick. Look, They bow, they prostrate at night. They fear Allah by day. They are worshippers of Allah around the clock, and they say in their dua, "Oh Allah, push away from us the punishment of hell." Look at the words of Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, "Walladhi atma'u an yaghfira li khati'ati yawm ad-din." And he, Allah, is the one who I hope will forgive my sin on the day of judgment. You'd think these were the words of a chronic sinner. You'd think these were the words of an addict of some sort. You'd think these are the words of somebody who is in and out of his salah. These are the words of Khalilur Rahman, the close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one I hope will forgive my sins on the day of judgment. Consider the words of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that huge legacy. His whole life was for the sake of Allah. What were his final words before he died? Some of his final words were, "Tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin." Cause me to die as a Muslim, O Allah. Cause me to die as a Muslim and allow me to be with the righteous people. Consider the words of Abi Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a man who had been given a guarantee of paradise over and over again during his life. He would say, "Lawadittu wallahi anni law kuntu sha'ratan fi jambi abidin mu'min." I wish that I was just a strand of hair in the body of a righteous believer. Who said this? As-Siddiq Abu Bakr, the number one of this ummah after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi. And you know what Imam Ahmad did for this religion, right? Towards the end of his life, people would say to him, "Look at how everyone is praising you. Even those who are fighting jihad on the other side of the world, when they are firing their catapults, they are saying, 'Oh Allah, have mercy on Ahmad. Oh Allah, be at the assistance of Ahmad.' Look at how the world is praising you, oh Imam. The believers are praising you." He said, "Akhafu an yakuna dhalika istidrajan min Allah." I am so scared that this may be Allah baiting me into my destruction. And when they said to Imam Ahmad, "Jazakallahu anil Islami khayr al jaza," may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for what you have done for Islam, Imam Ahmad became angry with that statement. He said, "Bal jazallahu al-Islama anni khayr al jaza man ana wa ma ana." He said, "No, may Allah reward Islam for what it has done for me." You are saying, may Allah reward you for what you have done for Islam. May Allah reward Islam for what it has done for me. As for Ahmad, who is he? What is he? That is what he said. Who am I and what am I? Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah, they would praise him. He would say, "Ya akhi, lam uslim islaman jayyidan ba'd ma ziltu ujaddidu fi islami." My brother, I am not even a good Muslim yet. I am still renewing my Islam every day. And he would say, "Ana al-mukaddi ibn al-mukaddi hakadha kana abi wa jaddi." And he would say, "Ma minni shay' wala fiyya shay' wala ana shay'. I am nothing and I am from nothing and I have done nothing." See, the greater the good deeds of a person, the lower he is for people. And the more broken his heart is for Allah, and the more he or she fears that the hellfire is a prospect for me. And the greater the arrogance of a person, his distance from Allah, you will find this person being of self-admiration and of having no fear of Allah. You ask him, "When was the last time you shed a tear from the fear of the fire?" He will tell you, "I cannot remember." The true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, they are people who, they do so much by night and by day, and look at their dua, "Oh Allah, save us from the hellfire." These are not the words of hypocrites or fornicators or porn addicts, God forbid. These are righteous people. They say, "Allah, save us from the hellfire." Tayyib, this is the first reflection I wanted you to take from this ayah. Everything you just heard now in this 15 minutes, how could you summarize it in one line? Yeah. Good. So the signs of a true believer are two things. Good. What else could we say? They're scared of hellfire. What else could we say? They have no self-admiration. They have no self-admiration. Yeah, these all could be valid headings for this part. Here is a heading number two. The hellfire. وَمَا أَدْرَانَا وَمَا أَدْرَانَا مَنَّارَ. What is the hellfire? They say, رَبَّنَا صْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. O our Lord, divert from us the عذاب, the punishment of Jahannam, the hellfire. إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. Because its punishment is a lasting one. Three key words here I want you to focus on. عذاب, now we've translated as punishment. Jahannam, that is translated as hellfire. And غَرَامًا, that is translated as permanent, a lasting punishment. Take a look at these three words. This is just linguistic gymnastics, and we haven't even started talking about the hellfire itself. And look at the terror it's going to put in our hearts. Adab, which we translate as Jahannam, that we translate as punishment. What is the root of this word? Some of the linguists have said, Al-Raghib al-Asfahani being one of them, that it is taken from the concept or the verb of أعذبهُ. وأعذبهُ, it means أزال عذوبته. It is the process by which you remove the pleasure of something. It is the process أعذبهُ of removing the عذوبة, the sweetness of something. That is عذاب. Are you getting a description of what punishment is found in the hellfire? It is an arena, a destination that removes all forms of happiness and comfort and peace of mind from its inmates. That is what is meant by عذاب, that we have translated as punishment. And then we said the عذاب of جهنم, that we've translated as hellfire. جهنم, what does it mean? If we say that the word جهنم is an Arabic word, then there is a difference of opinion. It is in reference to that which is ba'idun qa'ruhu, something that has a very deep bottom. Something that is deep. It doesn't seem to have a bottom to it. So the Arabs, they will say about a well that is very deep, they will say bi'run jihinnam. Bi'run jihinnam. Do you hear the word jahannam? A bi'r meaning a well. Jihinnam, meaning it is very deep. Ba'idatun qa'ruha. What does that tell you about the hellfire? We haven't even entered the hellfire, i.e. for the sake of our tour today, the academic tour. And look at the terror that now is in our hearts. And then Allah, they said that these people say, indeed the punishment of Jahannam is gharama, a lasting one. What is meant by the word gharama? Gharam. Gharam, it is in reference to something that is lasting. Yeah, linguistically, it is something that clings on to you and it doesn't leave you for a very long time. And this is why, as our brother said, that the one who is in love, they say, مُغْرَمٌ بِفُلَانٌ. So-and-so has gharam for such and such. Why? Because that passion is lasting. It's with you in salah, with you in food, with you when you are asleep. Gharam, it's lasting. Okay, somebody who is in debt. Who is he in the Arabic language? Who is he in the Arabic language? Gharim or gharim? Yeah, somebody who is gharim or gharim, he has a debt. Why? Because that debt is lasting. It is with him. Wherever he goes, that debt is following him. It's a burden that doesn't disappear. So when Allah has described the punishment of hell as being gharama, what do you understand from that? It is a punishment that is lasting. It is a punishment that when it gets hold of a person, it will not let go. A'udhu billah. What do we know about the hellfire? Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters in Islam, so much wisdom. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَإِنَّ النَّارَ لَا يُعَذِّبُ بِهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Nobody is allowed to punish with fire other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu punished a group of his contemporaries who said that you are God, he warned them from this statement, they did not repent, and so he burnt them alive. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, you should not have burnt them alive. Because the fire is to only be used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in punishment. So much wisdom in that. You see somebody drowning to death, it is horrific. Somebody being hacked to death, God forbid, it is horrific. Somebody falling from a building to his demise, it is horrific. But somebody burning to death, by our worldly standards, it's on another level of gruesomeness. The fire is a horrific apparatus to use for punishment. And that has been reserved for Allah Jalla Jalaluhu in the hereafter. Some of the heat waves, dear brothers and sisters, that we experience in the life of this world today are unbearable, so severe that they cause a standstill to the livelihoods of some of us in some parts of the world. And that is because of a sun that is located a staggering 149 million kilometers away from our heads. La ilaha illallah. What then about a hellfire, which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us is 70 times hotter than the fire of this world? Narukum التي يوقد ابن آدم جزء من سبعين جزءا من نار جهنم. He said, the fire that you use, O man, today is only one of 70 parts of the hell fire of Allah. One of the 70 parts. The companions were horrified when they heard this. They said, Ya Rasulullah, in kanat la kafiyah. O Messenger of Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to punish us in the hell fire, using the fire of this world, that would have been sufficient. That would have been enough of a punishment. He said, it is 70 times hotter than the fire of yours today. La ilaha illallah. And in the hadith, in which there is a doubt in its chain of transmission, it is attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he said, describing the color of Jahannam, this is the fire, dear brothers and sisters, that these true servants of Allah are asking Allah to protect them from. You wonder, how come they are so eager to be protected from the hellfire? Here is a tour of what is to expect, God forbid, if you and I do not make it to paradise. أوقد على النار مئة عام حتى أحمرت ثم أوقد على النار مئة عام حتى بيضت ثم أوقد على النار مئة عام أو قال ألف سنة حتى سودت فهي سوداء كالليل المظلم. أعوذ بالله. He said, the hellfire was heated by Allah Almighty for 1,000 years till its flames became red. Then it was heated for another 1,000 years till its flames became white. Then it was heated another 1,000 years till its flames became black. Therefore, he said, the hellfire is darker than the pitch black night. They are made to enter the hellfire. What is the first thing that happens when those who have failed enter the hellfire? Whether they are people who had no iman or whether they are Muslims whose good deeds were not sufficient. Allah Almighty tells us what is first. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةً فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَةً. The gates of the hellfire will be vaulted shut, Allah said, in columns, long columns outstretched. There's no coming out. They turn around to see what is waiting for them inside. And now, dear brothers and sisters, they see what no human being could have ever imagined and no poet could have ever described. They see a sadistic creature. They see an arena that was designed to mutilate, to hurt, to dismember, to disembowel, to skew appearance. They see a very cruel creature that enjoys hearing its inmates scream out of pain. This is the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They see mountains, cliffs of fire, the inmates of whom are forced to climb over and beyond time and time again. And they see small areas, solitary confinement, if you wish. They look inside and they see groups of people shackled together, suffering in those small areas. Allah Almighty said, وَإِذَا أُلْقُوا مِنْهَا مَكَانًا ضَيِّقًا مُقَرَّنِينَ دَعَوْا هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا. When they, those criminals, are placed in very small areas, all shackled together in chains, you will hear them calling Allah Almighty, begging Him for destruction, begging Him for death. What else do you see there in Jahannam? You see a reality. You now understand why Allah Almighty had given this place these names. Why Allah had called it Jahannam, the bottomless pit. Al-Hawiyah, the bottomless pit. Al-Sa'ir, the ignited fire. Al-Jahim, the fierce fire. Al-Hutamah, the causer of debris. These are all names of Jahannam, and now that they are inside, they realize why it was given these names. You look around, you see valleys of fire, clothes of fire, scorpions, pythons, ditches, mountains, smoke, all of it prepared for the suffering of its inmates. You look around, you see angels who are forcing some men and some women to lie down on mattresses, beddings of bed, of fire, and then they are covered with coverings of fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَهُمْ مِن جَهَنَّمَ مِهَادٌ وَمِن فَوْقِهِمْ غَوَاشٌ. They will be given beddings of fire, and they will be covered with coverings of fire. You look at the clothing that they are wearing, subhanallah. وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ. Allah said, you will see the criminals shackled all together in chains. سَرَابِيلُهُم مِّن قَطِيرَانٍ, and their garments will be made out of ignited tar. وَتَغْشَى وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ, and the fire will be attacking their faces. You look around, and although there is nothing to smile about in Jahannam, you notice that some of the inmates of the hellfire are grinning. You ask yourself, La ilaha illallah, what is there to grin about in this place? And you realize they are not grinning out of joy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَلْفَحُ وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ. The fire will sear their faces. وَهُمْ فِيهَا كَالِحُونَ. And inside the fire they will be grinning. How come? Because Allah said about the hellfire in another ayah, نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى. It is a fire that removes exteriors. And you know that this will reveal the skull of such a person, and the appearance of a skull is that of a person who is grinning. A'udhu billah. And here, brothers and sisters, they will shriek in fatigue, shriek in hunger and starvation, shriek for anything to drink, so Allah will give them something to drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُوا, if they call for drink, يُغَاثُوا, we will give them drink. بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ, they will be made to drink water that is like molten brass. يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهُ, that will burn their faces. بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَةً, how dreadful is the drink, Allah said, and how evil is the resting place. Burns their face. Merely bringing the vessel to their faces causes their flesh to melt away. What then about when they drink it? Allah said, وَسُقُوا مَاءً حَمِيمًا فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاءَهُمْ, they will be given a boiling drink to consume that will tear apart their bowels. And what is worse is that they will be drinking this drink with passion, with urge, although they hate it, but they are so thirsty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مِنْ وَرَائِهِ جَهَنَّمْ, in front of them is a punishment. وَيُسْقَى وَيُسْقَى مِنْ مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ, and he will be made to drink from a drink made of pus. You think to yourself, how will he drink a drink of pus? Allah said, يَتَجَرَّعُهُ, he will force himself to drink it. وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ, and he will be hardly able to swallow it. وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ, and death will come to him from every corner. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ, but he shall never die. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِ عَذَابٌ غَلِيظٌ. What next? They are starving. They haven't eaten for years. So what is on the menu for the people of the fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَذَٰلِكَ خَيْرٌ نُزُلًا أَمْ شَجَرَةُ الزَّقُومِ, is paradise a better destination or the tree of Zakum? La ilaha illallah. The tree of Zakum, even when you say it in the Arabic language, you feel that pronunciation is stuck in your throat. Zakum. إِنَّ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُومِ أَذَٰلِكَ خَيْرٌ نُزُلًا أَمْ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُومِ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهَا فِتْنَةً لِلظَّالِمِينَ. Allah said, this is a tree that we have made a trial for the wrongdoing people. إِنَّهَا شَجَرَةٌ تَخْرُجُ فِي أَصْلِ الْجَحِيمِ. Allah said, this is a tree that grows from the bottom of the hellfire. طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the fruits of this tree, they look like the heads of devils. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَآكِلُونَ مِنْهَا فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ, and they will eat from this tree over and over again till their bellies are full. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو أن قطرة من الزقوم قطرت في الدنيا لأفسدت على أهل الدنيا معايشهم فكيف بمن يكون طعامه. He said, if a single drop from the tree of Zakum was to be placed in the life of this world today, a single drop, it would completely devastate the livelihoods of humanity. He said, what then do you make of a person whose main food in Jahannam is from Zakum? La ilaha illallah. You look around and you also see people who are being turned around in the fire like meat on a skewer. Allah said, يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. On the day you see their faces being turned around in the fire. يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. As they say, we wish that we had obeyed Allah جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. We wish we had obeyed Allah and His Messenger. And you look to your right and you look to your left, you see others who have been consumed completely by the hellfire. There is nothing left of them but a lump of coal. Is that the end of their suffering? That is the beginning of their suffering. That is because Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who have denied our signs, they have disbelieved. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Those who have belied our signs, سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا. We shall push them inside of a fire. كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب. Every time their skin roasts, we shall replace them with new skin so that they may taste the punishment. Everything you are hearing, brothers and sisters, is a suffering that is on 2 millimeter or so. In the life of this world, when we talk about burns, you are talking about a burning that is affecting your skin. Your skin is around, they say, 1.75 millimeters to 2 millimeters. In the thickest part of the body, like the heel, perhaps it reaches 5 millimeters. That is what skin is. So thin. Yet look at the suffering we have when this shallow layer is burnt off. And they say that there are 3 different degrees of burns. You have a first degree burn and a second degree and then a third degree. And some doctors have said there is also a 4th degree level of burning. A first degree of burn, what is it? It's a light burn. Maybe it's a bit of exposure to sun without cream. So your skin peels off a little bit. It goes red, minor inflammation, a bit of pain. And that will recover within a week or so. And then you have what they call the second degree burn. This is just in our dunya today, dear brothers and sisters. A second degree burn, this is when you have blisters appearing in your skin. Some of them may pop, revealing the sensitive part beneath it. And then you have a wet appearance, as pus comes out. And this is very painful. It is excruciating. They say, don't put cotton on it. Don't put material on it. It will stick. It may fuse with your injury. And again, this may take now 3 to 4 weeks to fully recover. And then you have a third degree burn. May Allah Almighty protect us from the hellfire. A third degree burn, this is so severe that it can usually cause death because of not only the blood loss that comes out of the body, but the heat loss. The body falls into a state of shock. The outer garment is removed and a person dies because of shock or pain or loss of blood or energy. And they say that if surgery is not carried out on somebody who has experienced a third degree burn there and then this person will suffer serious scarring to his body, and it is very, very unlikely that their appearance will ever return to how it was again. That's a third degree burn. And then they say it even reaches a point where you no longer feel pain, and that's your fourth degree burn, your third or fourth degree burn, because of the damage done to the nerve endings. You no longer feel pain. All of this suffering, brothers and sisters, is on how much? 1.75, 2 millimeters worth of skin. The people of the hellfire, the messenger said about them, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the thickness of their skin is 42 adhru', 42 arms length. And in another narration, he said 70 arms length. Do you know what this means? I mean, how long is an arm length? An arm's length is about 50 or so centimeters, half a meter. So if you say 42 arms length, that's how many meters? 21 meters. In the other narration, he said 70 arms length. has 35 meters worth of skin. That's just the thickness of the skin. Their bodies are huge. And Allah is saying in this ayah, every time those skins are roasted, 35 meters worth of it, we shall replace them with a new garment of skin so that they may taste the punishment. Allah said, A'udhu Billah. Brothers and sisters, at this point, the people of hell will hate themselves. And they will hate all of those who misguided them. And they will begin pointing the finger of blame as they roast, shouting and screaming, this is your fault. This is your fault. You were the one who campaigned for this cause. You were the one who took me away from the masjid. You were the one who mocked the religion, made it seem small in my eyes. You were the people who convinced me to buy and sell that haram intoxicant. You. Then an announcement is made as they are blaming one another and hating one another. Announcement is made where Allah Almighty said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنَادَوْنَ لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِن مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Indeed, those who disbelieved will be called towards. They will be called and they will be told that the hatred that Allah has for you is greater than the hatred you have for one another. إِذْ تَكْفُرُونَ, because of your disbelief. When you were إِذْ تُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ, remember when you used to be called to Iman and you denied? What do the people of hell do now? They have no choice. They need to find a way out. This is a very unmanageable situation. This is completely unsustainable. This is unbearable. They begin calling out. They need any type of relief. First person whom they will call towards will be the gatekeepers of Jahannam. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ فِي النَّارِ لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمُ دُعُوا رَبَّكُمْ يُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. The people of hell will call the gatekeepers of Jahannam, saying to them, call upon your Lord and ask him to lessen the punishment for us by just one day. We know we're not going to come out. We know we can't go to paradise. Can you just ask your Lord to decrease the punishment by just one day? Allow us to breathe? The response, أَوَلَمْ تَكُوا تَأْتِيكُمْ رُسُلُكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Did messengers not come to you with evidences? قَالُوا بَلَى. They will say they did. قَالُوا فَدْعُوا. So keep making your requests. Keep calling. وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. Because the requests of those who have no faith are completely in vain. They are rejected by the keepers of the fire. What next? They remember their brothers in paradise. Allah, those Muslims who were mocked for spending their weekends in the masjid. Those Muslims who were mocked because of the identity that they upheld, even when all of the isms of society was against them, they are now diving in and out of the rivers of paradise. They remember them. They call them. Allah documents this conversation in the Quran. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah said, the people of the hellfire will scream towards the people of paradise. And أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ, saying to them, bring us any of the water, pour on top of us. Our bodies are on flames. Pour on top of us water. أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ, or anything that Allah has provided you with. They will respond by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah has prohibited both of these things for the people who had no faith. What next? They have to find a way out. They remember Allah, أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ, the most merciful, the most gracious, the most subtle, the most forgiving, but he will not show them any of these characteristics on that day. They will speak to Allah, Dua, Rabbana, O our Lord, غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا, our wretchedness overcame us. We admit, وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ضَالِينَ, and we went astray so badly. رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا, our Lord, we ask you to let us leave the hellfire. فَإِنْ عُدْنَا, if we ever return to our evil ways, فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ, we will be wrongdoers. And the response will come from Allah, اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ, remain in the hellfire in disgrace and do not speak with me. And that will be the last time they ever hear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will never see Allah, they will never hear from Allah, and they will never exit from the hellfire. What hopes do they have? They have one final hope, and they call the main keeper of the hellfire. His name is Malik. His name is Malik. Allah said, ونادوا, they scream, يا مالك, oh مالك, ليقضي علينا ربك, tell your Lord to cause us to die. We can't speak to Allah. Tell him, allow us to die. Imagine a suffering so severe you begin to wish for death. And the response comes. According to Abdullah ibn Abbas, after 1,000 years waiting for a response, what will it be? Will we be allowed to die? This is the greatest of their ambitions now, death. The response will be, إِنَّكُمْ مَكِثُونَ, you shall remain. After 1,000 years. And then just when things couldn't get any worse, they get far worse. Years have passed by. And the worst of all Muslims who was also burning in the hellfire would have now been exited, because the hellfire will never burn a Muslim forever. He will leave. Those whose good deeds were not enough for a pass to Jannah straight away, he will leave, she will leave, they will leave, leaving only those who will stay there forever. Then an announcement will be made. A white and black speckled ram will be brought somewhere between paradise and hell. All of them will be able to see it. And what is that ram? My brothers, what is that ram? It is al-maut, it is death. That Allah has given it the form of a ram. The angel will say, O people of Jannah, so they will crane their necks and look. Do you recognize this? They will say, yes, that is death. Then he will say, O people of the fire, they will crane their necks. فَيَشْرَئِبُونَ وَيَنْظُرُونَ, and they will look, do you recognize this? They will say, yes, that is death. And then that ram is placed on its side and it is slaughtered. And then the angel says, O people of Jannah, you shall remain in paradise forever. You never have to worry about death. And O people of the fire, you're going to stay there forever. You will never die. Our mother Aisha, she said, if anybody was going to die because of happiness, it would have been the people of Jannah. And if anybody was going to die of sorrow and grief, it would have been at that moment the people of the fire. فَيُرْسَلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْبُكَاءِ, then the people of fire will begin to cry, having realized that there is no way out, crying like never before, crying intensely, insanely, till their tears they dry up, and then they begin to cry rivers of blood. And the messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if boats and ships were to sail, they would sail in their tears. La ilaha illallah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, surely it is easier to burn away our addictions, our sins, our haram conversations, our impermissible inhalations, our transactions that cross lines. Surely it is easier to burn those away today than to suffer and to burn the hands of the hellfire. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, the messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I swear by the one who possesses my soul. لَوْ رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِي رَأَيْتُ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, if you had seen what I have seen, you would laugh so little, you would cry so much. They said to him, وَمَاذَا رَأَيْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what did you see, O messenger of Allah? He said, رَأَيْتُ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارَ, I have seen paradise and hell. So the people of the true servants of Allah, they are scared of the punishment of hell. So they say in their dua, رَبَّنَا صَرِفْ عَنَّا, O Allah, avert from us the punishment of hell. Indeed, its punishment is a lasting one. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًا وَمُقَامًا, indeed, it is an evil place with respect to residence and settlement. Just before we conclude, brothers and sisters, one more characteristic that we know from the true servants of Ar-Rahman. So far we have covered, in order, what are they? How they walk. How they respond to people of ignorance. Number three, how they spend their nights, they pray. Number four, how they fear the hellfire, and they make a dua. Are we going to memorize the dua, dear brothers and sisters? Here is characteristic number five. Now it's about money. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا, and they are those whom when they spend, they do not spend excessively, nor do they spend stingily, and they take a middle course between those two paths. Allahu Akbar. So these are people, dear brothers and sisters, who recognize that Allah has a right in their money. Yes? As we said earlier, it is not business masjid, or masjid business, and business business. All of it is a trade with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a portion of sadaqah that they give. The people who are the true successful ones in Allah's eyes, they have maybe a standing order that they've set up in their bank account on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that goes out in preparation for the hereafter. They realize that one of the greatest of all acts of worship, especially in the month of Ramadan, is giving from your money that Allah has lent you, dear brother, dear sister. And the Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Ahmad narrates on the authority of Uqbat ibn Amir, al-mar'u fi dhilli sadaqatihi hatta yufsala bayn al-ibad. Every man will be in the shade, under the shade of his charity on the Day of Judgment, till the matter between people is settled. Yazid, who is one of the narrators of this hadith, he said, after hearing this narration, Abu al-Khair, who was again one of the narrators, would not allow a day to go by unless he would give something in charity, even if it was a biscuit or an onion or kada or something like that. Something small. They recognize that the greatest proof of iman that you can provide, one of the greatest proof of iman you can provide on the Day of Judgment to justify your tears for Jannah is sadaqah. He said, was sadaqatu burhan. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, charity is proof. What hope can you and I have, dear brothers and sisters, in acquiring a six-figure pay job without offering the proof required for that job? What hope does a stranger have in coming into your home claiming he is a plumber or an electrician without offering you ID proof that he is who he is? And similarly, what hope do we have for safety on the Day of Judgment if we don't show Allah proof that we deserve that safety? And that part of that proof is sadaqah. I know some brothers, mashallah, tabarakallah, who are part of a certain WhatsApp group, and there is around 24, 25 of them. They said, look, there's so many of us. Some of us have an income. Some of us have a wage. Why not get together, set up a fund just for us, £5 a month each, £10 a month each, whatever we can give, and then we allocate it to a certain project of goodness when there is a good amount of money. A well that we can dig, or an orphan whom we can sponsor, or something to that effect. And every one of us, brothers and sisters, is part of such a WhatsApp group. Do the same. Send out the message. You be the first. Do it now. Lower your head. Take out your phone. Unlock the password. Go onto that group. Say to them, let's set up a fund. £5 each. There's 100 of us in this group. £500 a month. Let us prepare something for our hereafter. One question that really remains here is, how do we understand this ayah that says that they are people who, when they spend, they don't spend excessively or stingily, but they take a middle course? I mean, is there a touchstone to balance whether, or to understand whether I have given too much or too little, whether I was miser or whether I was excessive? Any ideas? How do I understand if my sadaqah was excessive or my sadaqah was stingy? Yeah. Good. Ah, so Abu Idris has helped us think out of the box. He said, if it's a sadaqah, it cannot be considered excessive in any situation. So what is Allah referring to here when He says they are not excessive when they spend? On themselves. Okay, very good. So now we can put those answers together. Mujahid ibn Jabr from the Tabi'in, he said, لو أنفقت مثل أبي قبيس ذهبا لم يكن ذلك سرفا ولو أنفقت مدا في معصية الله كان سرفا. If you were to spend, he said, a mountain of gold as a charity for the sake of Allah, it wouldn't be excessive. If, however, you were to spend just a handful of something in haram, it would have been what? Excessive. So if you were to put so much money, thousands, for the sake of Allah, and you are able to do that, it is not excessive. But a single pound that you spend on a haram, on a say tobacco or a cigarette, or 20 minutes with a shisha or something like that. That is excessive, even if it's just a fiver or a tenner. And if you were to put 1,000 for the sake of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, it wouldn't be excessive, because it is for the sake of Allah. Do you see, brothers and sisters, here the criterion? So the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are quick to calculate their zakah. They are too quick to set up that standing order. They are quick to see those people who are in need and to splash out on them and to enrich their families, beginning with them and then moving out to their communities. And there is another interesting thing here. Not only are the true servants of Allah Almighty people who pay their zakah and they give out in sadaqah and they have a continual charity that's going on for them, they also don't go overboard when spending on the halal on themselves. This is a very key point here. They don't overspend even on themselves, and even if that matter is completely halal, they don't do that. And that is why Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, "Kafa bil mar'i sarifa alla yashtahiya shay'an fashtarahu wa akalahu." He said, if you are a person whom every time you fancy something, you buy it and consume it, then that is excessive. That is excessive. Every time. And that is why one of our predecessors, he saw another man who was wearing something that does not befit his background. So clearly he has been excessive on himself. He said to him, why did you buy that? He said, ishtahaytuhu, I fancied it. So he said to him, kullama ishtahayta ishtarayt. Every time you fancy something, you buy it. Kullama ishtahayta ishtarayt. That is not a methodology for a believer to conduct himself with. So here we have a description, dear brothers and sisters, of how the true servants of Ar-Rahman deal with their money. So it's not just about the bowing and the prostrating in the masjid. Even their finances has a say about their success with Allah. I wanted to mention a few other characteristics. However, we've gone over the allocated time. So we will stop here. Next week, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will continue with the remaining characteristics, and we will finish it insha'Allah ta'ala. And then we will mention the reward that Allah has prepared for these people. It's not fair that today we dedicated about 35 or so minutes speaking about the hellfire. It's not fair. What then about those who have worked for Jannah? That hasn't been left a secret. We will speak something about that next week if Allah gives us life until then. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Dear brothers and sisters, you're free to go. As for the remaining who wish to stay, let me know if there's any questions that you would like to ask, and any thoughts, better still, that you would like to share.